Let us pray. Lord, plant the seed of your word in our hearts, and let the faith that you give to us be the rain that nourishes it. Let your wisdom be the sun that lets this word grow, and let our hearts be the fruitful soil in which all of this takes place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who here knows what a theologian is? A theologian, right? There's truth in words that a theo, meaning the Greek from the Greek word for theos or God, and logion from the Greek word for logos means words. That is, theology is just words about God. So a theologian is anyone who speaks words about God. So congratulations. Caroline Loos said, a theologian is anyone who goes through life expecting to find God at work. And many, many theologians have pondered this text in the gospel. St. Augustine chose an eagle as a representation of the Gospel of John because he thought that the theology of the fourth evangelist floated up so high above all of the others, the synoptic gospels. It's a little bit difficult because in John, everybody seems to be talking at cross purposes, do they not? There's lots of confusion going on, and not just in the Nicodemus story, but in the woman at the well and the other and the wedding at Cana and all of these places. There are people who seemingly willfully misunderstand one another and Jesus. And this story, too, has provoked many discussions in our community and through time in Christianity about what it means. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean for the wind to blow where it will? What does it mean to be lifted up? So, theologians, let's dive in. We are plucked right into the middle of this story in John's Gospel. Now, this is chapter 3. Jesus has called the disciples, but Jesus has also performed the miracle at Cana, the first of his signs, as the text says. And then, early on in this gospel, John has Jesus placed in the temple and cleanses the temple. Now, that doesn't happen in the other gospels until right before his arrest. But John's emphasis seems to be on the disparity between Christ's actions and the world, right? And so Jesus is already deep in conflict, not only with people around him, but with the temple authorities, with all those who think they know what's going on. And Nicodemus is one of those. He's a temple authority, he's a rabbi, and he comes to Jesus at night. Why does he come at night? I think he's afraid to be seen. But he comes to Jesus at night, and he starts off with an intellectual argument. As one would if one was a religious authority. He says, Rabbi, we know. So in other words, he's come with his evidence, and he says, we know that you come from God because we see the signs. So he has this empirical evidence, and he knows by observation and logic and deduction, as we would know too, that Jesus' signs prove that he is with God and God is with him, because no one could do those signs. So Nicodemus is already convinced of this fact. But then Jesus starts to speak and everything goes out of the window, because Jesus starts to talk metaphorically and literally. So Nicodemus isn't wrong when he comes with these questions, but he's not fully right either. Now, the conversations in the Gospel of John also have a lot of wordplay in them. And so the same word for sign is the same word for pole. The same word for born, again, also means born from above. The same word for lifted up also means exalted. And so here we are in this conversation diving into the known, but also entering into not what we know, but what God is inviting us to do and to be. David Loos says that a persistent theme in John, that Jesus' actions are not understood. And so Jesus' response to Nicodemus goes right to the heart of the matter. He is talking not just about being born again, but also being born from above. Two things, both and. But Nicodemus takes him literally. He misses the whole double meaning and goes right to the literal statement and says, no, that can't happen. No one who was born can crawl into their mother's womb and be born again. And he's right. But he misses the larger picture, which Jesus is trying to show, that we must be both born again in a spiritual sense and born from above, which is in the heavenly sense that God gives us eyes to see. And so that conversation goes on. And at the very end of that conversation, perhaps we have the most well-known Bible verse, right? How many people had to memorize John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, right? And you could say it with me. For God so loved the world that he left these. May not perish, but have eternal life. Well done. Now, can you say verse 17? Right? Because sometimes this verse, which is radically inclusive, right? Everyone who believes in God has been used as a litmus test, right? If you're not born again, if you don't believe, then you're out. Which is difficult, because what happens is that verse 17 follows. It says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. We sometimes miss that. So being born again, being born from above, means we can hear the emphasis on, if in the interpretations, in believer's baptism, right? So does anybody know anyone that was born again and they can name the specific date and time? Right? Right? Well, I've been born again. It's all good for me from here on out. And sometimes that does happen. Sometimes we have a mountaintop experience, and sometimes we believe in God wholeheartedly and our life is changed in that instance. And sometimes it happens quite differently. I think Nicodemus is indeed, takes a step into being born again, but it is a long process for him. Like many of us, as William James says in The Varieties of Religious Experience, most occurrences are of an educational and a long-term nature. So, I remember my friend Hazel, who was teasing our friend Simeon, who was a Baptist, and he came back from his three-hour church service, and Simeon regularly preached for 45 minutes, and he probably still does, because that's the tradition. You go early, there's a lot of music, and then you get the whole big service with the band, and then there's this long sermon, and then there's communion. And I remember Hazel just looked at him one time, and he said, oh, I preached in the Spirit. And she said, anybody get saved? She kind of slyly pointed out that sometimes we take that altar call or that one instance as the mark of a good sermon or a mark of belief. It was kind of funny to hear her say, anybody get saved, when he said, yes, I was. So we come to this place of, we have all this knowledge, and yet maybe it's not enough. For if religious training were enough, Nicodemus would have all the answers and he would be just fine. But he is baffled and he is unable to enter into this new life through his intellect. Jesus sort of helps him out here when he starts to talk about Moses being lifted up in the desert. He sends Nicodemus, a teacher of the law and a scholar of the Torah, right back to the Torah. Does anyone remember what happens with Moses in the wilderness and being lifting up the snake? At some point, in the desert wanderings, the Hebrews, they're not Israelites yet, but the Hebrews are complaining. Moses, it's too hot. Moses, we're hungry. Moses, were there not enough graves in Egypt? Moses, it would have been so much better if we stayed. And the Lord is getting a little tired of hearing that. And so what happens is there are snakes in the wilderness, poisonous snakes, and the word for poisonous and fiery is similar too. So maybe their bite was painful. So Moses, after he pleads with the Lord to get rid of the snakes, God tells him to make a metal snake or a bronze snake and put it on a pole and lift it up so that everyone who looks on that can be saved. There are stories of a snake on a pole being a healing sign throughout Greek mythology, throughout Mesopotamian culture, and you have seen them, and the doctors are nodding. All the doctors and nurses, what is that called? A caduceus, correct. And it is the symbol for healing, right? That all people of the medical profession wear that. Now you know where it's from, among other places. And so when Jesus sends Nicodemus back to the Torah and says, just as Moses lifted up the pole in the desert, and know, too, that the word for pole is the same word as sign, right? So the pole is not only being lifted up, but it's also a sign. And Jesus says, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. What's he talking about? The crucifixion. This will be a sign. So all of these word plays are going on in this text, all of this conversation that seems to be at cross purposes, which is actually leading us deeper into mystery, deeper into being known, deeper into knowing God on more than just a surface level. So, theologians, Jesus isn't just a good teacher, a rabbi among rabbis, but the one who, as David Loos says, reveals God's essential character of love for the whole world. So now what are we to make of Nicodemus? After all, he's clearly missed most of it. Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel? I think that's a little kidding there. Are you a teacher and yet you don't know these things? And then Nicodemus doesn't say another word. And in fact, we don't know what happens to him. Does he leave before dawn? Do they talk for hours? What happens? Well, we might notice that Nicodemus shows up two other places in the Gospel of John. And so remember, though, that Nicodemus doesn't have a mountaintop experience. He doesn't become born again in that moment. And in fact, he leaves maybe just as mystified as he ever was. But Jesus has made his mark on Nicodemus's heart. And so he shows up two more times in the gospel. One is at the night of Jesus's arrest, when Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin and they have put Jesus out and they are talking amongst themselves about what they are to do. And Nicodemus says, don't we have the accused speak? Doesn't he have the right to speak? Which seems maybe a little half-hearted, but took probably great courage to speak in that moment. And then the last time that we see or hear of Nicodemus is at the end of John's gospel. When Jesus has been crucified, two men come at night. At the end of the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who come and ask for permission to take the broken and battered body of Christ down from the cross, a body that no one else will touch. Everyone else has fled, and they come with hundreds of pounds of spices and expensive ointments to care for his body. Something happened to Nicodemus. We don't know what, but he shows up. And so maybe his faith, we don't know, has continued to grow. And certainly, because at the end, when he does that last great sacrificial act, it is an act of faith and justice and kindness and great love. So for someone who didn't get it, He seems to have gotten it. But early on in the story, we don't know from this. And I think that this story calls us into the known of what we know about God, and then it calls us into the unknown about what we don't know. So this gospel tells us many things, that being lifted up on the cross may appear to be a moment of great cruelty, but it also, that lifted up also means exalted or glorified. So it can be a moment of devastation. It also means a moment where God's mission in Jesus Christ is accomplished. All of that in chapter 3. Wait till we get even more in this, the Gospel of John. At the end of John's Gospel, he says, in chapter 22, he says, "These things were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And so I think that John's whole invitation, with many conversations like this, with stumbling and around and not knowing what's going on and wordplay, might be the invitation we need. Barbara Brown Taylor says this: "The story of Jesus and Nicodemus freed me from believing I had to know the answer to every question about what it means to be a Christian. I could also stop worrying about whether I was Christian enough to stay in the room with Jesus. Thanks to his conversation with Nicodemus, I gained new respect for what it means to be agnostic, such a maligned word, so often used to mean distrustful or lackadaisical, when all it really means is that you do not know, which according to Jesus is true of everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so I think in this day and age, when there is so much talk about being a Christian nation, we need to reclaim for ourselves what it means to tell the story about being a Christian. And it is not to be a Christian nation, because to be a Christian in this nation means that we work for the justice and freedom and ability of people of all faiths to find their journey and their way to God, trusting that Jesus Christ, who says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself," trusting that that work is God's. That our job as Christians in this nation is to share our faith, to share the faith of full love in God, to share the faith with all of the people that we know, to share the faith with our Jewish brothers and sisters, to share our faith and acknowledge the faith of our Muslim brothers and sisters, to acknowledge the faith and faith journey of our Arab and Palestinian brothers and sisters, for our Black and Brown brothers and sisters, for our transgender and gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender brothers and sisters. For God is speaking still. For the word has come to Nicodemus and to us, "You do not know." Barbara Brown says this: "To walk the way of sacred unknowing is to remember that our best ways of thinking and speaking about God are provisional. They are always in process as they flow out toward the God who remains free to act in ways that confound us. If our ways of thinking and speaking of God are not least that fluid, then they are not really theologies, but theolatries. Things that we worship instead of God, because we cannot get God to hold still long enough to pin God down." So theologians, hear these words, again from Barbara Brown, is appropriate to close with. "You do not know," Jesus says, and she paraphrases him, and she says this: "Not because you are stupid, but because you are not God. So relax if you can, because you're not doing anything wrong. This is what it means to be human." So may these signs show us. May grace hold us. May the wind of the Spirit blow through us as we go into the known and into the unknown, into our lives, and into God's love for all people. Anybody get saved? I think so. Amen.